A reading from the Gospel of Mark. On that day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
Jesus slept. I've been wanting to preach this sermon with that title for some time now. And it seems almost perfect that the lectionary would give me the story of Jesus sound asleep, his head on a cushion, no less, on Father's Day of all days. When every dad I know deserves a nice, long, head on a cushion nap. So there it is, dads. Permission to snooze away on a Sunday afternoon. Right there in the Holy Writ. And if the Bible says it, then I believe it. Naps are important because sleep is important. Not only for dads, but for moms and daughters and sons and everyone else. In fact, I've been reading Matthew Walker's book, Why We Sleep. And Dr. Walker, professor of neuroscience and psychology at UC Berkeley, says we Americans not only need to know we need more sleep, we need to know how dangerously deficient the sleep we are getting really is. Sleep is the foundation of good health. It is the grounds for psychological and neurological and physiological well-being. And its deficit contributes to all kinds of social ills, including car accidents, cancer, depression, obesity, anxiety, and even Alzheimer's. Americans are in desperate need of more sleep, Dr. Walker says. And if you are wondering if you yourself are getting enough sleep, the doctor says, short of having your sleep monitored in a sleep lab, the best rule of thumb for determining whether one is getting enough sleep is to answer no to each of the following two questions. One, do you feel tired in the mornings as if you could go back to bed around 9 or 10 or 11 a.m.? And two, would you feel tired in the mornings as if you could go back to bed if you were not supplementing your sleep with copious volumes of caffeinated beverages, or any caffeinated beverages for that matter. Now I'm about to go from preaching to meddling. I do not wish this sermon this morning to be shaming or moralistic even. It is not my intent that you walk out of this sanctuary this morning with yet one more thing to add to your long list of to-dos. If you simply add sleep to all of the other tasks you need to accomplish, I'm pretty sure you'll just end up counting sheep all night. I don't want you to see sleep as a task, something for which you should be ashamed if you don't get done. Rather, I want you to see sleep as a gift given from God and a part of the general grace God gives to all of us, like the sun and the rain and the breath we are breathing right now. Sleep is a gift from God. It was the first gift God gave after the creation of Adam. You'll recall that it was not good for Adam to be alone, so God made Adam fall into a deep sleep. And again and again elsewhere in the scriptures, sleep is given from God as a gift. There is the sleep that Elijah had in the days of his depression after he defeated the prophets of Baal. There is the sleep that Jacob had on the rock at Peniel. There is the sleep that his son Joseph had, in which he dreamed of his brothers bowing down before him. And there is the sleep and the dream of another Joseph in the New Testament, telling him he must take his family back to Egypt. And there is the little nap that Peter took on the rooftop of a man named Simon's house, where he dreamed of a church of Gentile inclusion. See, sleep is a gift, and dreaming is a gift. And so it is okay, dads, if you end up dozing off in that lazy boy of yours this afternoon. You deserve it. And so do I. And even if we don't, it's still a gift from God, always. And the invitation is for us to receive the gift and to be humble enough in order to accept it. Jesus said we must change and become like children. An infant child sleeps in the arms of his or her mother or father. We must then too learn again to sleep in the arms of our heavenly parent as well. Now, I want to take a short look today at the text that we are given and to see what it tells us about Jesus' sleep. The story comes at a crucial moment in the ministry of Jesus. He has just been baptized, begun his Galilean ministry, called the disciples, cast out demons, cleansed lepers, healed the sick, and started to experience the opposition from the scribes. In fact, in just the chapter before, the scribes called him Beelzebub, saying that by the rulers of demons, he was doing the things that he was doing. So in the story, Jesus is justifiably tired as he enters the boat with his disciples. And just as there are clouds gathering off in the horizon of the sky, there are also clouds gathering off in the horizon of the story. There are storm clouds brewing when Jesus steps aboard that ship. The sky is darkening. Yet Jesus is still nonetheless able to fall fast asleep. And how important that is when the wind and the waves begin to wax and the boat begins to bob and the disciples, scared to death, begin to blame Jesus, saying, "Don't you care that we are drowning?" Yet Jesus, calm and collected, keeps his peace and his head. That is the amazing thing about sleep, I think. That for 6 or 7 or preferably 8 hours, all of the cares and concerns and worries of the world have to be set aside so that we can rest. And ironically, it is only the ones who have rested sufficiently who, when awakened, have the power to face the storm without fear. Before we can still the storm on the outside, first we have to still the storm within. And a huge part of the extraordinary miracle of stilling the storm is found first in the ordinary miracle of simply sleeping through the night. Psalms 4 and 8 says, "I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, will make me dwell in safety." Think of that. What a blessed and beautiful gift sleep is. It is the gift of deep peace. It is the gift of deep rest. It is the blessed rest we receive when we close our eyes and trust in God, even when we know the clouds are gathering and we'll be awakened to face head on a serious storm tomorrow. We are still at peace. Sleep is God's gift, which promises we will dwell in safety no matter what. When we drift off to slumber in our beds at the dusk of this day, and when we do the same on the eve of our eternity, either way, we rest. We rest in God's peace. We know the prayer. "Now I laid me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. If I should live for other days, I pray thee, Lord, to guide my ways." Jesus laid himself down to sleep. He could see the storm clouds rising, and he knew that there would be trouble ahead, but he did not allow his soul to be overwhelmed by the worries of the world. He knew well enough to let today's worries be enough for today. Amen? And so he slept. He closed his eyes and he relaxed his body and he received the gift of a good night's rest. And though the text doesn't say it, maybe, he even snored. Maybe because, well, he was human, after all. We humans need our sleep. We need our rest and our rejuvenation, and we need to learn to trust God to watch over us at night. What good do we do if we add unto this evening all of the worries of tomorrow? And how many hours earlier will we have to keep on rising before we realize that we are not God and can't keep burning the wick at both ends? Sleep is the antidote to our anxiety. It is the balm for our fatigue, and it is the daily reminder, though it be a four-letter word, rest is not a bad word. For even God rested, and so should we. God rested and calls us to rest. God calls us to rest in the stern of the ship of life whenever and wherever we can, even if it's in the midst of the sermon, and not so much feel guilty about it. Because whether we wake or slumber, the storm will still gather, and the only one who can still it is the one who has reposed enough in God's peace that they can also rise in God's power. Many of you know how much I admire Desmond Tutu, so much so that I gave our middle child his middle name, Desmond. One of my favorite images of Desmond Tutu is found in a photo from 1986 during the height of the struggle against apartheid. Mandela was still in prison, and Bishop Tutu was the moral leader in South Africa. Yet in the photo, the bishop is sprawled out on the floor in the middle of the afternoon. His crucifix is on his chest and his back is on two pillows. His shoes are off and his little red socks match his bishop's shirt. He was the moral leader of his country, stilling the storm of apartheid. And he was asleep because, well, he knew he needed it. And because he knew from whence his power came from. Our power comes from the Lord. Our strength comes from the Lord. Our courage comes from the Lord. And it is in the good grace of the Lord that we close our eyes and open them once again. So rest and rise, beloved. Sleep and stir, and trust in the goodness of the Lord to guard your hearts and your minds by both day and by night, and in that great getting up morning. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God and Mother of us all, and all of God's people then said, Amen.